Welcome to the One Wyoming podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you go to gowyo.com for all my coverage of the Cowboys and Cowgirls. It is Hall of Fame weekend and the home opener for Wyoming. They're hosting Northern Iowa at 2 p.m. Saturday on Altitude, also streaming on the Mountain West Network. Going to be a full house, and we're welcoming on Athletics Director Tom Berman and Hall of Famer Kevin McKinney to the pod to discuss the weekend. Tom, I guess the big news going into this game, it's Hall of Fame weekend. It's a great class. Josh Allen is a part of that class, the reigning NFL MVP. And there's a special additive with Josh. He won't be able to make it here, obviously, because of the Bills' schedule this weekend. But he is coming November 22nd to the Nevada game. That's got to be pretty exciting for you and the department.
Oh, it's exciting. It's really a wonderful day for the state of Wyoming. I also want to make sure that we congratulate the inductees into the Hall of Fame. The Athletics Hall of Fame at the University of Wyoming is the pinnacle. And it's a wonderful tribute to athletes over the generations of cowboy and cowgirl athletics. And we're just really proud. And Josh's family, his mom and dad are going to be here, LaVon and Joel, for the banquet on Friday night. And so we'll get a little insight into Josh from their perspective. And then obviously the cat's out of the bag. We were trying to keep it as quiet as long as we could to make an announcement that Josh Allen will return to Laramie on November 22nd as we host the Wolfpack. We are retiring the 17, and we will have a formal recognition of that on halftime of November 22nd. So it's going to be a big day in the history of Wyoming football. And, yeah, you know, Ryan, Kevin, Josh is the most high-profile ambassador this institution has ever had. I mean, there's been some great alumni, not just athletes, but done great things in their world from the University of Wyoming. But the National Football League is the most visible sports enterprise in history, and he is the best player in that league. That's pretty amazing in itself.
It is, and, you know, Kevin and myself and some other people in the department had a chance to get on a Zoom with Josh during camp and talk to him, and obviously we knew about this, but you know, we're gonna announce it via video on Saturday, and some fans will find out that way. Not everyone listens to this podcast or reads Pokes Insider, but what I like about Josh and all the members of this class, including Casey Bramlett, who's the most prolific passer in program history, and John Winling, who was also drafted by the Buffalo Bills, is those two guys said their kids wear number 17 Bills jerseys, and they are honored to be going in with Josh, and I don't think they feel overshadowed or anything. It's a great class. Everyone gets who Josh Allen is. And Josh, you know, was glowing in his affection for those guys and the entire class and what it means to be a part of that class.
Yeah. I mean, Casey shouldn't feel overshadowed. His statistics prove he's not overshadowed. His statistics are phenomenal. And Josh has gone on to a great career. But Casey Bramlett has done an amazing job as well in his personal life.
And a great thing about Casey, of course, he's from Wyoming. And, you know, when you look back on those days, there were like six consecutive years of Bramlett's at quarterback for Wyoming. Of course, his brother, Corey, followed him. But, you know, Casey is one of the most unassuming Hall of Famers I think we've ever had. He's very proud of this. I think his family and friends will be half the room on Friday night. They've got a lot of tables, but you know, he never was one who wanted the limelight. He just played. He was just so incredibly durable. He played. He quarterbacked 40 games, and I'm not dissing anybody, but you know, the offensive line at that point wasn't stellar, and so he played with injury. But he always was there, and of course, his records speak for themselves. He's all over the Cowboy record book.
And Tom, I think 99% of Wyoming fans get it and love the Bills. I mean, some still root for the Broncos, but most have changed over to the Bills and that sort of thing. But I think there is a small percentage of people I hear from that there's a misconception like, oh, Josh doesn't care about Wyoming. He hasn't been back and this and that. I mean, you had Larry Nance Jr. on the sideline of the opener at Akron. Now Josh Allen is coming home. I mean, read the quotes in the Pokes Insider story. He loves Wyoming. These guys that stay here and do the things that Josh did understand the opportunity they were given and now how what that's led to at the next level.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Josh hasn't been back, fans overread that. Reality of it is Josh is a quarterback, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. He doesn't have a lot of free time. He can't do what a lot of fans think he should be able to do. You know, when they have an off week, it's hard for him to get back to Laramie. When they have time off in the off season, he's got a lot of people pulling at him to get him to do things. And whether we like it or not, he's got 3 or 4 months to make even more money in the off season. And I tip my hat to him because he does a great job with it. And when he does that, he raises the profile of the University of Wyoming. Every time he's out there, whether he's promoting Gatorade or he's promoting any other of the companies that he works with, people know that's the dude who played at Wyoming. And that's valuable to us. And sometimes I think we forget that.
You know, what I love about him, and he's got so many great qualities, as we know, having had him here for the time we had him, is his benevolence. I mean, he loves to help people. We asked him that day when we had the opportunity to interview him, you know, where did that come from? And he said, my parents were that way. In our little town, if there was somebody in need, they would step up and help. And he said, I believe it's my responsibility that when you are doing well financially, it's your responsibility to help. And he's done a great job with that. You know, he's just a heck of a guy, and it was great to talk to him. When we got our opportunity, it was like he was still here. He hadn't changed. Same guy, disappointed to see that Applebee's had closed and his favorite hangout. And we just had a real good time with him. You want to spend more time with him. Of course, you can't do that. But it was great that they gave us that time, and we really enjoyed talking with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also Craig Bull went out there to a Bills practice, and that was quite an interaction. Tom, what's your lasting memory from 2015 to 2017?
You know, I always go back to that CSU game in the snow when I felt like Josh put us on his back and carried us. I remember one third down situation was like 3rd and 6, and he ran for 8, and just like he's going to do it because that's who he is. He's that competitive. The other one that's an interesting one, and now I look back on it, I kind of laugh, but this was right at the time the NCAA changed the rules regarding insurance. So Josh was one of the first high-profile athletes where he was eligible for an insurance policy going into his last year. And we had never done that. Nobody in the Mountain West at the time had ever done that for a player. So part of getting him to return was to buy an insurance policy. Well, when we submitted it to the NFL, they came back and said he's projected to be a top 10 pick, and that'll be around $50,000. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. And I look back on it, I go, it was the best $50,000 we ever spent. But at the time, I was panicked. I was like, we've never done anything like this. How are we going to do this? And I had to kind of educate the campus that, hey, we got to do this, and we got to pay for this insurance policy. And I remember chatting with him and his agent, and I wouldn't say I was like, I was just floored that he was that valuable. And now I look back on it, and obviously they know a lot more about quarterbacks than I do, because I knew he was good, but he's different.
You know, when you mentioned the institution too, I think it's awesome that everybody on campus now has joined in on what you're talking about, his visibility. And I think Chad Baldwin and his crew are doing a great job with integrating Josh with their marketing, and great move. A very smart thing to do, because you know, you're right what you said earlier. Kids know him as being from Wyoming, and who knows how many kids it may bring to enroll here at the university. So I really applaud what they're doing. It's really cool.
Absolutely, I tip my hat to Chad, and I tip my hat to the Board of Trustees for having the courage to make that move. It's not one that's popular with everybody around Wyoming, but the reality of it is it's moved the needle, whether it be merchandise sales or student enrollment or donations, it's moved the needle. And so tip my hat to them.
Tom, I think it's fair to say that Josh and that crew, Wingard and Logan Wilson and all these guys, helped create not just memories, you know, the Boise State win, the San Diego State win, the Northern Illinois win, all these things, but they created this atmosphere at the war that, you know, when I was in school didn't exist through time. And now we have the renovated War Memorial Stadium opening up this Saturday, and it's going to be a huge crowd. I know it's stressful, but once we get through this weekend, what are you excited about with this renovation? Obviously, it's been years in the making.
It's beautiful. I mean, I walk through it every morning. We are on a tight window, and there's going to be things that aren't finished the way we would like, and our fans got to be a little patient with us. But we will get it done quickly. But there's a few things that are not done. But it is stunning, and for the most fans, they're going to see it in the concessions, the team store, the restrooms, the plaza area down below on the west side. For the premium seat holders, you're going to be in one of the best low seats areas I've ever seen in a venue. It's just a great location. You know, a great club area in the Ranch Club. Thank you to the McMurray family for helping us do that. It is just glorious. But what really I'd say I'm most proud of, I saw a picture. I was listening to a presentation yesterday from an outside entity, and they had taken pictures recently of our stadium. It looked like from a drone. And I was like, that is really nice. I mean, the arena, the parking areas, the indoor practice facility, the War Memorial Stadium, the fencing, the stonework. It's just, I hearken back to 15 years ago. We used to have dirt in the East Lot. We used to have what looked like horse ties for parking stalls. I mean, it's just changed. And that's a tribute to the people in this building and the fans across Wyoming and the legislature, which was really good to us for a period of years, and the donors who matched many of those legislative appropriations. So thank you.
Well, you know, it's amazing. It's its 75th year. So this is so fitting that it got a new face, because what was done there was a building that was built in 1950. That's a long time ago. I wasn't even here yet in 1950. But
wow, it's really old then.
Barely. I was barely not here. But anyway, to have just the concourse, the lower concourse, and what it was, and we dealt with it. It was embarrassing, no doubt about it. It wasn't what a first-class facility should have. But to see it now looks as nice as any stadium we're ever in, anywhere in the country. And the people will be, they'll be excited about it. They're going to be impressed by it. And, okay, some cosmetic things won't be done for the first game, but they will be done. And it's just something that we can really be proud of. And, you know, you and the administration, what you've done with these facilities is remarkable and has made this a first-class operation.
I was proud the other day. I was on a call with some ADs, and they were talking about the worst facilities in the conference. This is the current conference we're in. And they were talking about press areas. And they were debating between us and I think it was San Jose State, I can't remember, for the worst communication/press area. And I was proud to say, oh, that won't be the case any longer.
Yeah. We would have won that last year. I think we beat San Jose.
It was not something you should be proud of. And that matters, because media people, where they come from all over the country, they really get one interaction. They pull into town, they get their credential, and they go to the press box. And that's what they leave with. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's good for the state of Wyoming. And so I'm glad we've made some adjustments there.
You know, the other factor there, the television. The television entities that come, they know how bad it was and mm-hmm. how difficult. We did the best we could with it, but now they've got a first-class location to do the games, and that will be big as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tom, I know Jay Savelle is paid to go one at a time, and he's locked into Northern Iowa. But you know, with this new look stadium, you've got Northern Iowa, then you have Utah coming in, the old rival from the Mountain West and WAC. You have the final Border Wars conference rivals in town, UNLV and San Jose State, two potential contenders coming, and now obviously the home finale with Nevada is going to be a big deal, not just because of the two teams, but also Josh Allen. A lot of people will want to wear their number 17 jerseys to that one. How excited are you about this slate and the Cowboys, you know, kind of trying to mimic what they did in 2023 at home?
I'm very excited, but you're right. It's one game at a time. And Northern Iowa is a proud football program. I mean, I spent a few years in the 1AA FCS world, and Northern Iowa was always a playoff team. They slipped a little bit last year. They'll be back. I mean, as we all know, Iowa kids are tough, hard-nosed. They'll come here ready to play. So we got to play better than we did last week, especially offensively. I expect that to happen. And then we got to have a great week of preparation because we have, in my opinion, a top 10 team coming in here with a top 5 quarterback. I mean, we couldn't tackle Dampier last year, and now he's got really good players around him. So we got our hands full, but we'll be ready to go. And that's one of those games, sort of like Texas Tech and sort of like Mizzou. And, you know, you get that opportunity, you got to be ready to go, and you got to play clean football. And I expect us to play a really good game. And then we get to go down and see the prime show in Boulder. So that'll be, it's a great stretch for the Cowboys.
It really is. And, you know, you mentioned not being able to tackle Dampier, but we didn't have Braden Johnson last year, who is actually as big as Dampier. Not many linebackers are, but what did you think of the defense? Because obviously 9 new guys started, that played 22 guys. I mean, Jay went wall to wall off season, turning over every stone to improve the depth on defense and everywhere really, but first shutout against an FBS team since the 44-0 win over Colorado State in 2010.
Did you say that? I didn't hear that. Say that again. The what win?
We've had shutouts in 2017 and that sort of thing, but...
But who was that 44 to...
Oh, some team down the road south of the
was
border.
Was that Colorado State? Okay, yeah. I didn't hear you well. That was CSU. Yeah, just going to clarify
My
that.
Point is, you can say it's just Akron, but shutouts are hard. It's a great start for the defense, and I think we all believe the offense is going to be good this year once they get it cranked up, but if you have a defense to complement that, good things are ahead.
Absolutely. I thought the defense played fantastic. I expected Akron to score some points against us. I expected us to score points, and we didn't score at the threshold we wanted to, but we sure shut them down defensively. So we have a chance to be very good defensively, and I still believe that we have a chance to be very good offensively. So we got some work to do. Let's go do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, it's going to be the way it is now, of course, but when you have new players, and not just young players, but new players, you have to learn how to win. And if you can win a game on the road to start your season, they won the last game last year on the road, so those kids know how to win a little more. That really helps. And so you could be North Carolina, and there's I know people think we should have scored more points and all that, but it's a process to learn how to win. And to win on the road in that manner, one side helped win, the other one didn't. This week, it may be the other way around. So these kids are starting to, I think, feel better about the program and themselves. And so many of them are new that, you know, they haven't won in brown and gold. So that was a big win. Maybe not as much as we wanted, but it was a good win.
Yeah, Tom, you mentioned Northern Iowa being a really good program. Obviously, 1993, some of us remember they came in here with Kurt Warner and almost beat the Cowboys. I believe it was a Joe Hughes fourth and goal, like a long situation, and he hit Ryan Yarborough for the game winner with a minute left. Chris Durr Jr. reminds me of Yarborough a little bit. I don't think he's as big as Yarborough, but he's as fast and as elusive as Yarborough. He had, 146 yards receiving and the touchdown. Sam Scott had 132 yards rushing. Caden Barnett at Jay Sauvel's radio show last night on the short yardage said, "That's on us. That'll never happen again. From now on, Sam Scott should be able to slow walk for a yard because we're going to open up holes." So I think the adjustments from week one to week two are going to be substantial, and they're going to have to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so I'm really happy for Sam Scott. He had battled through some adversity and handled it like a man, which I respect. And Had a great first game, and I think he's going to have a wonderful year. Chris is a playmaker and really fun to watch. And we got to find a way to I still believe, without doubt, our best player is John Mike, and we got to get him the ball more. We got to get him the ball in space, and he'll make plays.
Oh, yeah. A lot of weapons were not utilized in that game, right. And I think that's what we'll see much more of this week. You know, Sam is more of a throwback Wyoming running back. He's that tough, pounding guy, the Christofferson type of guy. And I just love to watch him. He'll gain yards. And you know, the offensive line maybe can do a better job, but he'll get yardage just because of the way he is. I love to watch him.
All right, guys. Well, I know it's a very busy week around here, so we're going to go have Kevin take some chairs up to the press box. And Tom, you can get back to work. But thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And we're going to have Tyson on from facilities to give an update on the war. So thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah. Talk about busy.
Welcome back. As promised, we have Tyson Drew, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Facility Operations and Event Management. Tyson, that title means your heart rate is what right now?
It's through the roof. A lot of sleepless nights in the last probably month or so. So we're getting there. Got a couple more days to get the stadium ready, and it'll be there for game day for all of our fans that show up. So excited to show it off, and not a better way to start the 75th year of War Memorial Stadium than with all the upgrades that we have.
Yeah, Restore the War is 99.9% done.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's some little cosmetic things we need to do here before kickoff. And certainly there will be some bugs that'll be worked out, you know, before the Utah game. But what do fans need to know as they come to the game Saturday against Northern Iowa? Obviously, new press box, that'll affect the media, but not fans. New concessions, new bathrooms, new loge seating, new club, and new gates. A lot of stuff new, but yeah. What do fans need to know?
Yeah, so I think the first thing they'll see when they could get to the stadium on Saturday are the new gates. Unfortunately, one gate won't be open, gate number one, but that gate wasn't available to us all last season as well. So that'll be back open for us for the Utah game. But the new gates, the new fencing around the perimeter of the stadium is a much needed improvement. Helps just the aesthetic look of the stadium on game days, but also provides us with some security around the stadium on non-game days. But like you mentioned, all those other things, new concession stands underneath the west side. We have three brand new concession stands. A beautiful team store for the Brown and Gold outlet. It has a nice glass storefront, a lot more presentable and just a nicer, cleaner look for fans that want to check out the team store and buy some apparel on game days. One thing that's big for us operationally that our fans may not see is a new visiting team locker room. Previously, the visiting teams would use the field house, which displaced some of our student athletes, our track student athletes, and other student athletes that use our sports medicine facilities in the field house. Now we don't have that disruption, which will be nice. And the visiting team has their own locker room. But new club area, which is just gorgeous. Couldn't be more pleased with how that turned out. Low seating outside with nice countertops and nicer chairs, and then beautiful new press box, which was much needed. So still working through some kinks with the infrastructure with that, but it'll be ready by game day.
I know while some of us were in Akron, the athletic department staff that was around flushed all the toilets and did a test there.
Yeah,
a cleaning crew was in yesterday. Yeah. I know the construction crew is putting some finishing touches on gates, but are you pretty confident this is mostly going to be flawless?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a new thing, so it'll be a little bit.
Yeah, I think the contractor's been creative. I mean, that you mentioned that flush, it was an idea of his that it's hard to simulate game day because you don't have 25,000 people in the stands on a normal day. So we wanted to make sure the sewage capacity and then the water supply capacity was good enough for game day. So we went through that simulation and didn't have any issues there. Infrastructure, Wi-Fi, cellular coverage, that's always a concern. We've done quite a bit of upgrades with the West Side renovation to boost cellular and Wi-Fi coverage. And we're going through doing last minute testing on all that, and everything's been going good with that. So I think, I mean, we'll have hiccups. We go through every game. We always have hiccups, but hopefully nothing major that our fans, see and experience on game day. And, as you said, as the season goes on, we'll just keep improving on those things. And hopefully by the end of the season, it'll be perfected.
Jay Savelle always says it, and I agree with him. It's the best atmosphere in the Mountain West. Yeah. And I don't think it's particularly close. And you walk through the West Concourse now, it's kind of like the future meets the past. It looks totally different and really cool, but it's kind of like Fenway Park. I was there this spring, and we're not that old. It's 1950, but it's like Fenway. They have some modern things, but it's still old Fenway. And I think that's kind of what the war is. It's a historical landmark meets modern football stadium now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, just adding some graphics to the facility. We'll see a lot of those on the lower west side, and we plan on doing some on the east side before the game here and in future seasons. The east side hasn't changed much, so you still kind of have that old feel on that side, and then all the improvements on the west side. So I think our fans will be pleasantly pleased with all the upgrades we have over there.
All right. 2 p.m. Saturday, Wyoming, Northern Iowa, War Memorial Stadium. I know everyone will show up early and tailgate and all that, but just in case, you might want to show up a few minutes early, you know, to get through those gates. Yeah. We're missing one gate for this game. So it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be fun, and it should be a great day for Wyoming football. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to the One Wyoming podcast. Make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you soon.